Amen. All right, I want you to open your Bible to the book of Luke. We're going to go to Luke chapter 21. Somewhat a familiar portion is to me through the years, but Luke 21, I'm going to read just a little bit of it, starting in about verse 25. And I'm still a little bit on the same subject I've been on now for two or three weeks, but Luke 21, I want to speak to you a little bit this morning on the follies of fear. We'll find that word here somewhere in the text. Let's start in about verse 21. Well, let's go to verse 25. We'll shorten it up a little bit. Luke 21, chapter 25. And there shall be signs in the sun and in the moon and in the stars and upon the earth, distress of nations with perplexity, the sea and the waves roaring, men's hearts failing them for fear. Fear's my theme here a little bit. Men's hearts failing them for fear and for looking after those things which are coming on the earth. Now, perhaps they're looking upward in the skies and so forth, but it can come from other directions too. For the powers of heaven shall be shaken, and then shall they see the sign, then shall they see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory. And when these things begin to come to pass, then look up and lift up your heads, for your redemption draweth nigh. And he spake to them a parable, behold the fig tree and all the trees. When they now shoot forth, you see, and know of your own selves that summer is now nigh at hand. So likewise ye, when ye see these things come to pass, know ye that the kingdom of God is nigh at hand. Verily I say unto you, this generation shall not pass away till all be fulfilled. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall not pass away. Well, in context, if I had gone back a few scriptures before, we'd have spoken about the time mentioned in verse 24 of Luke 21, when Jerusalem, which has been captive to the Gentiles pretty much through history, and trodden down, as it says in that verse, of the Gentiles, it says, until the times of the Gentiles be fulfilled. It's talking about a time, and then as you get into the text I read, it talks about the fig tree. Old preachers talked a lot about the button of the fig tree. The fig tree is Israel. And you and I are the generation that have seen it bud, for sure. They came back as a nation on June 14th, 1948. But then bigger than that, they had to fight for it again in June of 67, when they were able to come in and take the Wailing Wall and the whole city and the temple area. That was a big time. I remember I was just starting out to preach, and how excited I was. The Bible was being fulfilled on the 6:30 news as I saw the city of Jerusalem. I knew the scripture was being fulfilled. And now you and I, in these last 3 years, less than 3 years, since Trump came to power and recognized Jerusalem as the capital of Israel, now that verse is completely fulfilled that's spoken of right here. Jerusalem was trodden down of the Gentiles until the time of the Gentiles be fulfilled. We're really close now to all of this fitting in with the Lord's return. Now, you notice here, it says men's hearts are going to fail them for the fear that's coming. You know, we look around today and see that this chapter in its context would fit in with Matthew 24 and Luke 17 and the prophetical predictions that are coming. And so this is yet future prophecy, but we're almost there completely. Much of it has been fulfilled. And certainly today we're getting closer and closer to we see men reacting to fear, I think adversely so, but that time is on us. We're now living in a time of much fear. You understand that? You know, when this virus thing started, one of my first sermons, I used 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7 for a text, where it says that God does not give us a spirit of fear, but of a sound mind. But as a preacher, knowing a lot of good people, I'm surprised how many times the sound mind has been distorted in these last 7 or 8 weeks. And fear has become the motivator. It has come the big thing. It has come the thing that has caused people to act and do things maybe they wouldn't have done before. We're living in that time of much fear. And as I think about this thing for 8 or 9 weeks now, you can see the follies of fear, or the fruits of fear, we might call it, in so many different ways. And I'm going to say a couple of things about that this morning. To begin with, as I look on the follies of fear right now, I see the divisions that it's brought, the dividing that has happened. In 1 John 4:18, it talks over there about fear having torment. There's a lot of folks living in pain over this thing. They're living in torment. The fear becomes almost a torment to them. And the general population reflects it. Have you noticed how the smiles have disappeared when you're in stores? Replaced by frowns. Have you noticed that? That's sad. But it's true, folks. Personality changes almost, you might say. And we become policing each other. Stand on that line. That's where the tape is, right there. Isn't that what the missionary told us Sunday night? One way down this aisle, another way down that aisle. Playing gotcha. Where's your mask? You know the Lone Ranger even pulls his off when he goes to bed at night. All right. But look how we look around, and it's amazing. Squealing on each other. Like first grader, teacher, he done this, right? Policing each other. I mean, all of a sudden, the division and it's divided churches. It's attacked the very lifeblood, the very existence, very purpose, very mission that God gave to the church has become under attack, killing its mission. You know, the new methods now, I saw in the headlines this morning, churches were going to open, but they're going to have certain qualifications, that sort of thing. A new method, social distancing. Do you know the church is built on not social distancing, but social getting togethers? That's what we built on. I mean, reaching people. We're not supposed to avoid them, run from them, hide from them, separate from them. We're supposed to reach them. So the very mission of the church has become under a threat to a great degree. And the Bible talks about assembling together, commands us to. 1 Corinthians 14 says, when the whole church came together in one place. Whole church came together in one place. Not much room for social distancing right there. Not if you're going to go by the word, amen? How about distant giving? Now, we've had some folks, very faithful, some of our own members stay home, watch us online, and thank God they know the bills have to be paid, and so they've been sending in, and I praise the Lord for that. But I want to tell you, distant giving don't replace, and I saw one of the rules now, they said the churches might have to quit passing offering plates. Did you see that? Not this one. We get bigger offering plates, amen. But with all joking aside, let me say something. Giving is worshiping. And it's a thing between you and God. If you're a tither, the tithe belongs to the Lord. It ought to be brought to the storehouse, to the local church. I agree with all that. But I remember when I first got saved and found out what tithing meant, it was a matter of prayer with me and getting right with God to do that, and I still believe our giving ought to have a relationship with God. And I want to tell you, if you can stay home and give, I'm proud, but it don't replace that personal relationship of coming to God's house, bringing it to the storehouse, putting it in the offering plate, and giving and knowing why you're giving. It becomes awful impersonal if all you do is push a button like you're paying your light bill. Right? All right, I'm gonna meddle with you. You might as well understand that. I guess I tithe this week. I pushed the button on the computer. I don't believe it's supposed to be that way. I think it ought to be real. I remember when we were building some buildings. We started another church over here on the East Coast. And I remember when the powers in our capital began to say, you know, you're going to do this, that, and the other. And you're going to put a hydraulic arm in the baptistry so you can bring somebody up. And you can, by the way, I guess that's social distancing. And you can take that arm and you can baptize them. And I went to Tallahassee and fought and won. I said, you're messing with our doctrine. Our doctrine is baptizing, putting hands on people and putting on the water like they're supposed to be. And I'm not changing that doctrine. And we want it by the grace of God. And it's still free. Amen. But the truth of the matter is there ought to be a relationship between you and the Lord over a lot of things that are connected with church. And you just can't farm it out to the computer. And a lot of folks are trying to do that. I think you ought to feel you're giving. I really do. And this is, I hate to say it, but we're getting a bad habit started. I'm more comfortable in my house coat drinking coffee watching the service than I am to come sit in the pew. And don't kid me, you'll get up, move around, start doing things too. And you're in the background. Yeah, the preacher's preaching in the background. Uh-huh. So how you know that? God just tells me those things. And they're true. Amen. Getting a bad habit started there. That's what it amounts to. Destroying, coming to assemble ourselves together. And by the way, are you going to be able to join the church from your living room? How about getting saved? Think that over. Hey, fellow, are you saved? Yeah, I pushed the green button on my computer, the preacher said last week. Oh, me. Oh, me. Nobody showed you the scripture? Well, no, the button, you punch the button if you want to get saved. Well, did you repent? What is that? Huh? You understand what I'm saying? All of a sudden, we're going to become mechanized. We're going to become computerized. We're going to become in cyberland. That's not what church is supposed to be about. That's not what Jesus died for, not what he started, not what he gave instructions to do and how to do it. In the Word of God. Help yourself, folks. I'm going to rip on this when I feel like it. Amen? I just don't believe worship is virtual. I believe it's personal. I believe it's a connection between you and the Lord that ought to be there. How about this thing of Sunday family time? Remember them old days? Sunday is the Lord's day, but it's the time the family would get together. And the family worship together. Did you ever hear that? Sure you did. But not anymore. He's on his cell phone over here. She's on her cell phone over there. Did you go to church, honey? Yeah, I looked at it. I don't believe that cuts it, folks. I don't believe that fulfills the commands of the Word of God and the relationship that we're supposed to have with the Lord in his house. I don't believe that. I believe the family is going to be hurt by this thing when it's over. And not only that, if the families are hurt, God's church is going to be hurt. Because the families are the cement that puts us, God's house together and holds it together. And that's God's plan. And if the devil can come in with fear and scare everybody away and start the social distancing and start nothing but the computer worship, the next thing you know, he's done great damage to the cause of Christ and to his local church. Amen. I say to you, it's brought divisions. See, a lot of you right now are not too hot on what I'm saying. You're a little bit divided already. Well, a preacher might be wrong. Yeah, might be wrong, but you're very likely to be more wrong. If we're going to use the Bible to be the measuring stick, you are wrong. And the truth of the matter is it has brought divisions, and some of it shouldn't have brought. No kind of way. I'll tell you what else, and this is a little more serious. This thing, this folly of fear, one of the follies is it's bringing death, making death easier and more common. So what do you mean? I mean, we have got to the place that we're losing respect for life, and life is becoming cheaper. Cheaper. Real character that ought to go with life is being compromised and being missed. It's revealing the worst side of man. Here's what it's revealing. It's revealing the selfish attitude all of us are born with. We are depraved creatures. We are sinners. And it's just as easy to let the flesh get in the driver's seat and me. I've preached before on the thought, the selfie generation. And that's why I watch folks taking selfies. That blew my mind when that started. I got to see how pretty I am today. And I got to show that to the whole world. They're so interested in what I had for breakfast. Did I brush my teeth? What am I wearing today? Oh, it's sick to me. Just sick. I'm sorry it is. But we've moved to this selfish generation, losing respect for the old-fashioned character of hard work and doing things right and a man's word being the law. I mean, it reveals the worst side of man. What we've got happening here, this selfish attitude, the stay-home rule is causing more death than the virus caused. Have you seen the stats how suicide has gone up? Have you seen the stats how abuse has gone up? Oh, yeah. Well, listen, the old folks used to say, idle time is the devil's workshop. And I'll even say this to husbands and wives. You might be seeing too much of each other since you've been shut in. Now, preachers are known for meddling, and maybe me a little worse than some. I've known some folks that had to split up because they couldn't stand each other no longer. Say, what happened? One of them retired, or both of them retired, and they wound up in the same house, and they got tired of each other. Amen, Mickey. Just go ahead and tell them the truth, whether they like it or not. This shut-in business is causing a lot more death than you would believe. It's selfish first. Depravity. All of us are depraved, but sometimes circumstances reveal it more than other times. I remember reading a sad thing and a story. I was reading in World War II and knew some folks involved. They were in a Japanese prison camp, and it was one of the awful ones, and torture and everything bad. One of the men kind of came to himself, and he said, I realized that not only were they giving us physical torture from time to time, but he said they were messing with our minds. They were messing with us psychologically. And he said, here we were, a civilized nation, America, and they wanted to smear that. They wanted to mock that. So he said, instead of us getting food the proper way from them, they would make us go to the garbage cans and eat out of the garbage cans and throw it on the ground. And he said, I got to noticing we civilized American men, were fighting over garbage like dogs. He said, we were growling at each other while our guards stood and laughed at us. He said, we were reduced down to the worst side of man. He'll give his life for another bite to eat. Horrible thing that he portrayed. And I thought, isn't it amazing how we can go from up here, civilized, even intellectuals, down to fighting over a bone with a dog. Man is depraved. You see, the truth of the gospel pulls man up. As we get away from God and away from his book and away from the truth, we go down. Darwin was wrong. Charles Darwin, you know, he said from the puddle, evolution, from the puddle to the paradise, that's backwards. We went from paradise to the puddle. And all it takes is a prison camp or something else to put us in dire straits to the place we reveal that flesh, that depravity. And what we are having right now is the selfishness that's being shown. I got you. You better stand on this land. You better stay home. You better social distance. You better watch out. Listen, where in the world did we get so afraid of everything when we should be turning it over to God and trusting him with it? I said it over and over during these weeks. This should have brought us closer to God, not farther from it. And death has been a result of it. The depravity of man keeps showing up. we see in the news. For instance, they had a group sort of penned up or jailed up over in Africa. They call it, they had them quarantined, quite a few, 75 or 100 people quarantined. And the people got tired of it, and they broke out of the pen. They broke out of the quarantine and scattered back through the population. And so the authorities begin to question why. Why didn't the guards stop them? Why'd they let them out the door? And the guards said, hey, we didn't want to come in contact with somebody that was infected. Let them go. All self. Self-involved. Protect self. Amen? What we're seeing in the news right now with cities burning and the looting and all that that's going on in Minnesota and the other cities. Now, there was a big injustice done, no doubt about it, but I want to tell you something. What is following that is even worse. I mean, it's the looting and all that's going on. Hey, that's self again. I'll show you. I'll go in and steal a TV. That'll fix everything on it. Back up my truck and load it up there at the Target store. Amen? That's depravity I'm talking about. That's the selfishness that I'm talking about. And that's exactly what we're seeing. And yes, you say, what's the end of that? Now, I'm going to tell you something you won't like. But if it keeps going on, what we read about in the tribulation period, mass killing is going to take place. And here's the sad part. When looting and rioting goes on far enough and a strong man comes in with a bigger gun, we'll actually be glad to see him. You see, when enough chaos goes on long enough, then when the strong hand comes in like Hitler did in Germany, then the people will say, all right, at least he brought law and order. So we'll tolerate what we would not have tolerated, the surrender of our rights and our freedoms. You know, we sang the song about America. Land of the free and home of the brave. We're not so brave anymore. We're all scared self is going to come out on the short end of the stick. And when we get to the place we're no longer the home of the brave, we'll no longer be the land of the free. One depends on the other. Guarantee it does. Oh yeah, death has gained a lot in this thing. Really, really, really has. And I'm sad to see it. But that's one of the follies of man being overcome with fear. Turning from God that's got all power and one we trusted with our soul. And all of a sudden we're fearful that he can't handle the flu. Or something else we can point to. I believe I have a God that can do anything. He saved my soul, and after that, it's all plus. I like the little bumper sticker years ago. I saw it on some cars around. You come up behind the car, some of them here in Haines City. You come up on a car and painted in red and letters where you couldn't miss it. It said, "What did I give up to become a Christian?" And then in big letters with fire on them, hell. Yeah, that's what I gave up. I gave up hell. That's a, man, listen to me. The Lord saved me from hell. Everything else is in the plus column. Everything else is glory. Amen? Think about that a little bit. Yes, this folly of fear has resulted in more death. And then it's resulted in darkness being increased. I mean, mentally, confusion is reigning today. Hardly don't know what to believe. One lie, one deception, one trick after another. I believe we're in the days of the end time. You know, the word Babylon comes from the word, means confusion. Comes back to the time God confused the languages at the Tower of Babel. And we read in the book of Revelation how Babylon comes back center stage again. And the truth is that state of confusion, deception, is moving back across the world right now. Mental confusion, everywhere you look. Uncertain sounds, fake news. And every time you look, somebody else is grabbing for more money. Have you noticed since they had the stimulus bills, have you noticed who's been getting the most of the money? Universities that have endowments laid up into the high millions, getting handouts to fight COVID. Who are you kidding? What a joke. Looking at the con that's going on. Somebody said Uncle Sam opened his pocketbook and everybody's trying to get in it. A lot of truth to that. A lot of truth to that. Amazing, the crookedness that's going on. You know, I hate to say it, but I read our own local paper and I see people applying for help. They didn't shut down. They didn't have to lay off employees. They just figure if anybody else is getting it, I'm going to get some too. And I come back to that depravity, that selfishness of mankind. Darkness has increased. Mental confusion is running rampant today. Health information. I said something about some of our members getting in the hospital and couldn't get out till they got tested. And the tests, we don't know how reliable they are. They tell me you take it one day, it's this, and the next day it may be that. We're confused. Confused. Everywhere you know, you're turning around, you're confused. And that's really too bad. But I also heard something positive this week and saw a little picture of it on TV. Maybe you did too. I think it started in Israel. I believe it was Israel. Probably they're great about some of the inventions. I believe it did get started in Israel where they can send a little robot in, little machine on wheels, and he rolls in like to a hospital room, and he's got a great big, look like a sun lamp on top of him. And the bright light, you close the door and turn him on, and the bright light in the room kills, exterminates any virus in the room in a few minutes. Now, you got to get the humans out because it would be detrimental to them. But, boy, that's a great thing, isn't it? I thought about ordering one for the church, and we just run up this aisle and run up that aisle. Now, I'm joking at you some, but I want to tell you something. Isn't it interesting how that fits the Bible? The Bible talks about Jesus being the light of the world. And you know you can't compromise light. You can't make light crook and bend. Or some claim you can't. No, you can't. No, you can't. We was building the buildings around here one time and putting in the sewers and things and had all the pipes stretched out for 100 yards and all that stuff. And I was there working a little bit around with the plumber. And you look at the pipe going down and we put it together and it's sort of crooked like a snake, you know, had several wiggles in it. I said, what are we going to do about that? He said, we'll straighten it up. I said, how do you know when it's straight? He said, you know. So we began to straighten it up. He said, now come look down this end. He said, when you see a perfect circle like the moon at the other end, he said, that's a straight pipe. He said, you can't crook light. Isn't that wonderful Bible truth? You know, Jesus is the light of the world. He's the one that is pure. He is the very one. Over in 1 John chapter 1, it says, God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. Not any. Not any. Do you know of all people that all have their heads on straight, their minds right, and their hearts right about this fear that's taken over the whole world is God's people. We know who is the light. We know who the one is that can't be crooked. We know the one that'll be true today as well as true tomorrow. You test him today, you test him tomorrow, it'll be the same. Amen? It won't be man's kind of test. And the book of Revelation tells us of men dying in fear. This text we read said men's hearts fell in them for the fear of the things that was coming on the earth. Fear. Fear is such a motivator. Makes us lose our minds sometimes. In the book of Revelation, men are dying because of fear. I find it interesting. In fact, I don't have it marked. I'll turn over to it and read it to you. You get the time I do. Revelation chapter 21. Listen to verse 8. I've always thought about this verse. I've called it something. I've called this verse the roll call in hell. If you were to lift the lid on hell and take roll call, here is the group that's there. Did you ever look at it? Revelation 21:8. Notice how it starts off. But the fearful. The fearful. And unbelieving. And the abominable. And murderers and whoremongers and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone. This is the second death. But notice the first of the list, the fearful. Who's he with? With the abominable. Who's he with? With the whoremongers. Who's he with the dopers, the sorcerers. Who's he with? This whole bad crowd. You wouldn't want to fellowship with that crowd today, would you? You know what can get you in that place called hell, where the fire's at, where all this bad crowd's at? You know what can get you there? Being fearful to receive the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. Being fearful of the truth, the light. And you'll be with the crowd crying for the rocks and mountains to fall on them, as we read in Sunday school. But that's interesting to me, on the roll call of hell, on top of the list, the fearful. The fearful. We see what fear is doing to us today, to population, breaking the economy of the world, churches, people being divided. We're seeing what fear can do. That's not the worst fear can do. The worst fear can do is send your soul to hell by rejecting God's plan of salvation, rejecting God's only begotten Son that died for your sins on the cross. That's what fear can do. You ever heard somebody say, well, I'd like to get saved, but I'm fearful to walk that aisle in church? Really? You'd rather go to hell than to step out in front of folks and say, I believe on the Lord Jesus Christ? Somebody's got you confused. It's not God. Truth is, the matter is that it's going to be a crowd that's just going to say, well, I just couldn't do it because I feared what my friends would say. Feared what man would say. Oh, my. You know, I guess I probably felt that way before I walked the aisle to receive Christ. But I know one thing. As soon as I got to the front, I knew the devil had been lying to me. Because he told me, though, you can't walk out in front of these folks. But when I did, I found out they were all on my side. They were all pulling for me to get saved. They were all praying for me to get saved. He was a liar, like the Bible says he was. And that's what he might be saying to you right this minute in this building, out there on the in the TV or the phone world, wherever you're at. The truth of the matter is, you ought to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and it's more than pushing a button at home. You ought to go to the house of God somewhere, confess him openly in front of men, and not be ashamed of the Lord Jesus Christ. I pray for you today, if you're here and you're not saved, you'd do that. You'd come and say, preacher, I believe on the one that loved me and died for me and paid for my sins, and I'm not ashamed. Who in the world knows that I believe on the Lord Jesus Christ? Would you come that way this morning? In the living room, you can pray and be saved. In the car, you can pray and be saved. But if you really get saved, I believe there'll be a time God will lay on your heart and you'll respond to confessing openly before others. How about it? Have you done that? Have you done that? Don't let fear destroy you, because it's destroying the world today. Men are letting it take control, and the damage it is doing is very, very real. Would you bow your heads with me? Let's stand, please. Father, we come to you in prayer. We commit the invitation to you. Father, we give the invitation not only here in the building, but over the line, where we're streaming, where somebody may be listening to the radio. Father, I pray for their soul right now. I pray they'd believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. I pray they would recognize these things that we're talking about, these things that men are so afraid of, this fear that is killing our world today. I pray they'd look at it and say, yes, this is what the Bible said would happen, and turn to the Lord Jesus Christ. Father, I pray that you'd give them the strength and courage to confess Christ as their Savior. Bless, I pray, here in our midst today, in Jesus' name, amen. We're going to sing. I'm going to step to the front. Whatever God's asked you to do, you do it as we sing.
Just as I am, without one plea, but that thy blood was shed for me.
How about it? How about it?
And that just as I am, and waiting not to rid my soul of one dark blot, to thee whose blood can cleanse each spot, O Lamb of God, I come, I come.
Let's bow our heads. The invitation's still open. Whatever God's asked you to do, now is the time to do it. Ask yourself the question, is there something God wants me to do? Why am I not doing it? Could it be you're afraid of something? Fear steals a lot of blessings. Real faith in God, faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, cast out fear. Fear does have torments, as the scripture says. A lot of folks miserable because they're afraid. The Bible says, trust in the Lord and lean not to thine own understanding. The world's going to scare you every chance they get. Almost all the news you hear is negative. They can motivate you and move you by fear. That's the world system. That's Satan's system. The Lord Jesus Christ, the opposite, says, fear not. Fear not. Fear not, little flock, he says. Fear not, I am with you always. Fear not. I have never counted them, but I've heard that there's a fear not in the Bible for every day of the year. 365, I've not counted them, maybe you could. Fear not, fear not, fear not. Fearing is the opposite of faith. Don't let the devil scare you out of God's blessings, God's power. Thank you, folks. Been good to be in the Lord's house, and we thank God he's seen us through, I believe, the worst of this thing. I believe we are beginning to see light at the end of the tunnel, and that's good. And as a whole, as the sheriff's pointed out here, I pointed this out Wednesday night, God has blessed our whole county. On that note we read from him, I believe he said 1,700 emergency workers in our county. Out of the 1,700, 12 had tested positive, and all of them just live fine. That's pretty encouraging. And out of 690,000, and that's, I think the paper says is over 700. Sheriff said 690,000 population. Just a very small handful has actually died, and most of them already had a illness that was taking them out. I appreciate that encouraging word. That's to stop some fear, some foolish fear that's been going on. Amen? All right. If you're visiting with us today, you might say, I went to a different church. Come again. We're different every Sunday. Amen? All right. We're glad to have you. All right. Let's go ahead and be dismissed in prayer. Let one of our college students dismiss us here.
Let's pray. Lord, thank you for this day. Thank you, Lord, for the message. I pray, Lord, that we'll take it to heart. Remember, Lord, to trust you and not defer the things of this world. I pray, Lord, you please take us home safely and bring us back. In Christ's name we ask and pray. Amen.